Pastor Jolie, can we have to come and chill with him?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Really good to be here today again.
Thank you for coming.
Really good to
a
have
bit
you.
Different setting today. But I think more closely. That's true. That's true. And I was also blessed by testimony about Mary. May the Lord be blessed. Hallelujah. May the Lord be blessed. May the name of the Lord be blessed. You know, we are a family. We are a family. And it goes really in line with what Christine has been sharing about love. By love, we can reach out to each other. Just praying with love can make such a difference into somebody's life. Just praying with love can make such a difference. And we are really blessed. We are really blessed. You know, our fight as Christians is to remain in faith. Despite everything happening around us, is to remain in faith, because we're believing that the kingdom of God is coming and that God will establish a new order. God will establish a new society. But before that, all we have to be is to stand in the gap. And to stand in the gap, it will come one day. Or the Lord is saying to us, do not worry how it will come. Do not worry when it will come. I just give you one mission. Stand in the gap. Walk in faith. Sustain each other.
Amen.
And before you know it, that day will come. And this is our fight. This is our fight. It might not come in my generation, but I will have to play my role. My role is to keep the faith, to keep walking in faith, to pray for my brother, to pray for my sister, so that together we stand in the gap until the will of God will be fulfilled, until the kingdom will come to earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has his own agenda. He knows how he will do it. We just have to keep each other. I think that's the mission of the church, really. It's our mission. When we're coming together as Christians on a Sunday, our mission is to praise the Lord and to encourage each other. To encourage each other. Amen.
Amen.
And today as well, I'm bringing you a word of encouragement. I just want to pray quickly. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for the privilege, Lord. We don't take it as a right. We consider it as a privilege. Just being in your presence, God, is a privilege. Is a privilege. Yesterday we were far away from you, Father God, but you have brought us to you. You have made us your son and daughters. We thank you. We thank you. The Bible says that you have made of us a nation of God, a kingdom of people of God. Is a priesthood for you, O God. Yesterday we were all over the place, but today we are your children. We thank you for that privilege. We thank you for that grace. Father, take control in this time. Take full control. May all the glory be given to you. In Jesus' mighty name, have your way. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. I want to share quickly something in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. The theme of my, I call it a short exhortation, is moving forward. Moving forward. Going forward. Moving forward. 2 Kings chapter 6. We will do quite a long reading. I'll read 2 Kings chapter 6, 24 to 26, and then I'll go to chapter 7, 1 to 8. From 24, the Bible says, I'm reading the New Living Translation. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cup of seed poured for 5 shekels. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, Help me, my lord. The king replied, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help from you? Hallelujah. If the Lord doesn't help you, where can I get help from you? And I get chapter 7, 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, from the first verse. Elisha say, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time, tomorrow, a seed of flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seeds of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heaven, could this happen? You will see it with your own eyes, answered Elisha, but you will not eat of it, any of it. Now, there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say, let's go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. If we stay here, we will die. So let's go over the camp of the army and surrender. If they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, we die. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edges of the camp, not a man was there, for the Lord has caused the Arameans to hear the sound of the chariots and horses of and a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and cloth and wealth and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and ate them also. Then they said to each other, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go and ask and report this to the royal place. Amen. And report this to the royal palace. Amen. Beautiful story. I'm sure you probably had an opportunity to read the whole story. It's a text actually which describes a period of famine in Israel, and particularly in Samaria. And the famine occurs because the people of God broke the commandment. Amen. If you read the book of Leviticus, the Bible clearly says that God was speaking to the people of Israel when he was giving them commandments. He says, if you break my covenant, if you walk against me, I will walk against you. And I'll bring all sorts of punishment because of disobedience. And in this particular case, 2 forms of punishment came to Israel. One was military defeat, and another one was famine. And this is exactly what the Bible says in Leviticus, that will happen if you broke the commandment. Amen. So Israel was under military defeat. The Assyrians, actually, the king whose name was Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. Normally, Ben-Hadad is not a name. It's like a title. It's more like a title. It's like a pharaoh. It's a throne name for the rulers in Syria at the time. So Ben-Hadad took siege of Samaria. His army surrendered the whole city of Samaria. People couldn't leave the city. They couldn't enter the city. So they were stuck inside the city. And the king of Syria took his time. He knew that even if we don't attack, we don't get into the city, because at that time, big city used to have big protection. They used to have big walls surrounding the city to prevent the enemy entry. So the king of Syria said, well, we will stay there. They will starve. They will die from famine because they couldn't trade at the time, for the economy of those big cities, of those ancient empires, relies a lot on trading, on commerce. And because they couldn't go out of the city, nobody could come in the city, so no food was coming in the city, and they were starving. Hallelujah. They were starving. This is the kind of situation that happened when we break the word of God. When we break the word of God. Hallelujah. It's important for us to walk in obedience to the word of God. I remember the Bible talking in John chapter 15. The Lord says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Whoever abides in me will bear more fruit. But if you don't abide in me, you will not bear fruit. And the Lord even says, my Father will cut off any branches that doesn't produce fruit. I think this is our duty as a church, as Christian, as Son of God, is every day we need to cut off all those branches that doesn't bear fruit in us. We need to be cutting those branches that are unnecessary, that are occupying, that are a waste of space in our life. Hallelujah. Those branches can be some bad habits. Those branches can be some unnecessary relationships. Those habits can be some unnecessary activities. Anything that we do that can make us disobey the word of God. We need to be conscious and cutting those bad things. Hallelujah. So this is what happened with Israel. So the punishment came, famine came. And the Bible says the famine was so strong, so severe, that people began to eat even food that was qualified unclean by the Mosaic law, by the law of Moses. The Bible talk about the head of a donkey, which was prohibited in Leviticus, which was described as an unclean food for them, but it became a commodity highly valued because of famine. Famine was so strong that unclean food became a highly valued commodity. And this is what happened with us every day. When our biological needs are not met, we tend to break the commandment. We tend to push the word of God aside. I love what you say, Haley. When Adrian talked about the Pentecostal movement, you mentioned the fact that people don't have jobs. They don't have. That's why they turn away. This is what happens most of the time when biological needs are not met. People forget about the book. They forget about the commandment. They forget about everything because they want to fulfill the biological needs. But the Bible says that we shall not live by bread alone, but we shall live by the word of God. This is our position. Our position is to put our spiritual need above our physical need. We put our spiritual need above our biological needs. In that particular situation, they put their physical needs above the spiritual need. They put the law of God in one side and they say, we are starving. So bring is the donkey. They took the donkey and they took everything that was unclean for them. Hallelujah. And began to eat off it. Our focus should be the word of God, no matter what happened. We don't have to feed our life with unnecessary things just because of our biological needs. But we know what we need is the word of God. Our life relies on the word of God. The Bible says we shall not live by bread alone. Our bread, our daily bread, is the word of God. Hallelujah. Is the bread of God. I don't have to take shortcuts. I don't have to go into unnecessary habits. I don't have to go into unnecessary relationship. I don't have to steal. I don't have to break the law just because I have needs. Hallelujah. I choose to obey the word of God. I choose to obey the word of God. And I say to God, look after my life. Take care of me. I will walk in your word. I will obey your word. I will serve you. I'll be standing in the gap. It's up to you to look after me. It's up to you to meet my need. Hallelujah. But that wasn't the situation with the people of Israel at the time. So the famine was really severe, really strong. But in the midst of that chaos, a man of God stood up. Amen. Amen. A prophet of God came in the midst of that chaos. Elisha received a revelation from God. And he prophesied. He prophesied. And a new chapter began in Samaria. Amen. He prophesies. And this is what he says. We read it in chapter 7, verse 1. Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says about this time tomorrow, a sea of flour will sell for a shekel." So I'll give you an example. The famine is so strong. Let's say a bottle of milk now costs 10 pounds because of the famine. And then Elisha comes and says, "Here is the word of God. This time, tomorrow, a bottle of milk will cost 10p. People say, "Come on. The economy is not growing. How can you say that? You cannot predict such thing because there is no food coming in. Nothing. All the economic indicators doesn't show growth. How can you come and say tomorrow, this time, this will happen?" And Elisha turned into the officer of the king who was doubting about the word of God. And he said, "You will see it, but you will not leave it." You know, when God releases word, all we have to do is to believe in it.
Amen.
To leave the word of God, we just have to believe in it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
There is not a season of famine which has no end. There will be an end to a bad season. There will be an end. No season is eternal. No season is eternal. After the flood, God prophesied through Noah. He says, as long as there will be day and night, the season will follow each other. There will be different season every time. You might be going through a very challenging season right now, but that season is not eternal.
Amen.
There will be an end to that season. And this is what Elisha came and said. He says, "Listen, I understand the situation is desperate. I understand that everything is in the cow, but I'm here to release the word of God. A season is coming, and it's a good season." Hallelujah. I come as well today as a servant of God to tell you that there will be a good season for your life in the name of Jesus. Because this is how God operates. There will be a good season for you. There will be a good season. A new chapter can begin in your life. Hallelujah. A new chapter can begin. The Bible says in the first verse, as we read, that Elisha prophesies the end of famine, and he prophesies a good time, a time of great things, a time of abundance, a time of satisfaction, a time of healings, a time of breakthrough. He prophesies those things. But there are few things which I wanted to share with you regarding that prophecy of Elisha. And I'll be out of your way, and we can pray. Just a couple things I wanted to emphasize. Firstly, Elisha prophesies about the new season, but he didn't organize the circumstance for that season to happen. It wasn't up to him to create the circumstance. All he had to do was to release the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
He didn't have to fix things for the word of God to be fulfilled. Actually, Elisha had no clue himself how this will happen. He had absolutely no clue. He came and he only released. He is given to the prophet to prophesy, but it's not given to him to create the time and the circumstance. Hallelujah. Maybe you receive a word from God one day, from a man of God, or from a ministry, or from a particular situation, and you haven't seen that things happening yet in your life, and you begin to wonder, was it really God who spoke? All I can tell you is that person who released the word of God into your life, he did his job.
No,
man. He did his job. It is God who will create the time and the circumstance. Hallelujah. He didn't have to fix things. Today we are trying to help God. We are trying to give a little help to God so that the promise will be fulfilled. True. No, we don't need to help God. God is strong enough to fulfill his word.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You don't have to help God. You see, oh, maybe this is the promise God gave me. Just leave it to God. He will fulfill it. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
He's strong enough. Secondly, Elisha didn't choose the instrument that God will have used to bring deliverance into Israel. He didn't choose the person that God will have used. If you read the text, the person that God used was four people who were lepers. They had leprosy. Those are the people that God used to bring deliverance. And I'm sure if Elisha was given the choice to choose, he would never choose people with leprosy. As a matter of fact, those people were considered as cursed. They were considered as unclean. And they were outside the city. They couldn't even be with normal people. So I don't think Elisha would have come to them and say, God will use you to bring deliverance to Israel. That's why he didn't have to choose. All he had to do was to release the word of God. Hallelujah. I can tell you that we also are lepers. We are lepers. We have our limitations. We have our uncleanness. We have our challenges. All of us, we have our difficult situation. But God can use us to bring deliverance to his people. Hallelujah. In the same way he used the lepers. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians. Something Paul says, which relates really to what we are talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. From verse 26. From verse 26, he said, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Amen.
Amen.
Paul says, remember, brother, when we were called, when you were called, you were nothing. No one among you did have a degree or a PhD or a loaded bank account. But yet God used you to shake the foundation of the earth. You have even stood against the Roman Empire. God has increased you all over Europe. But you were just some poor Hebrew, uneducated Hebrew coming from nowhere. God took you, and today Christianity is spreading all over the world. Hallelujah. This is what Paul was telling them. He says, you were lepers. You were like lepers. No one could have predicted that it would have been through you that God would have changed and transformed the world. Hallelujah. But God chose things that are really weak to shake the things that are strong. Hallelujah. Each one of us is a leper. We have our intellectual limitation, our financial limitation, our social limitation. We have our spiritual limitation. But God can use us. God can choose us. And He has chosen us. Hallelujah. Amen. He has chosen us. He has made of us a nation of priesthood so that we can fulfill His word. Hallelujah. So we have to consider ourselves always a servant of God. Always. You know, I always put in my mind, every time I go somewhere, I always say in my mind, I'm first of all a servant of God. And I'm not here by chance. A man of God is never somewhere by chance. Even when God brings you close to someone, you are never there by chance. I just want to share quickly a testimony. My wife, she's in Africa. She was in South Africa. And I was trying to I was trying to bring her over, but I had few challenges at the time. And she began to live with a young lady who was there. That young lady wasn't really committed to Christ. She wasn't really committed to Christ. And I couldn't understand why whatever I was doing wasn't working really. Wasn't working. I just couldn't get things moving. And that lady recently, she began to develop a kind of sickness. And she was poorly, really, really poorly. And my wife began to minister to her. She ministered to her. And that lady gave her life to Jesus. Amen. And 2 weeks later, she died.
She was saved.
Yes, she was.
2 weeks later, she died. So when I went home, when I received the news, I sit down and I realized that my wife was there for a purpose.
Amen.
All the time, I was trying to bring her to make things move. Nothing was moving, but she was on an assignment.
Yeah.
God wanted that lady to be impacted before her death. She wanted her to give her life to Jesus. And this is what happened. So my wife wasn't there by chance.
No.
It was an assignment from God.
Yeah.
Every time God brings you close to a person, just think, it's not by chance.
No.
Maybe there is an assignment here for me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm here in Doncaster, it's not by chance. Maybe there is an assignment. I'm in Yosha, it's not by chance. Maybe there is an assignment. I'm in the UK, it's not by chance. Maybe there is an assignment.
Yeah.
Maybe there is someone. It might be just someone.
Yeah.
It might be I just here for someone. And I just have to do my mission. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You never know. It might be just for someone that God has made you go through a long journey just so that you can be a blessing to someone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just so that you can be a blessing to someone. I remember a story of an international evangelist who came to Africa to do a big gathering. And he spent a lot of money, equipment, to have a big gathering. And they did a big meeting, a big crusade. And when he preached the word of God, and he made an appeal for people to give their life to Jesus, only one person responded. Only one person responded. He was so disappointed. He said, This is a failure. I spent a lot of money. My team pray a lot. We fasted and we did that. Only one person gave a life to Jesus. But that person became one of the greatest missionaries. Later on, that person began one of the biggest missionaries. Traveling Europe, America, and everywhere, connecting people to God. So that evangelist came to Africa only for one person.
Amen.
God moved him only for one person. Hallelujah. Amen. You might have your limitations, but just think 1 minute. Say, come on, I'm a servant of God. Am I struggling right now with this situation? Am I find it really hard to have breakthrough in that situation? I might still be weak spiritually. I might not be able to do this, but I'm a servant of God. I might be a leper, but God can use me powerfully. Amen.
Amen.
And this is what happened. God used it. God used that person. There are big promises. There are big promises that has been said upon our life. And God can use us. And the third thing, those lepers, when Elisha released the prophecy that things are about to change, the whole city heard about it. The king heard about the prophecy. The king and his army and the officials and the whole city heard about what the Lord wanted to do. But the lepers didn't heard about it because they were not in the city. They were not even allowed to be in the city. They were outside the city. But the fact that they were not there didn't prevent them to be qualified to be used by God. The fact that you were not there when the promise was released doesn't disqualify you from being used by God. Hallelujah. You know, it might be 20 years ago that God promised to do something in this city. And probably I wasn't there, but God can use me to fulfill that word that he released 20 years ago. That word that he released 100 years ago. Every time we're moving with God, there is above us a provision, an anointing. Because there are people who walk with God before, our great fathers. They pray for revival. They pray for this city. They pray for this country. They pray for this church. They pray for many things. And they die. But they pray and never die. They pray, their prayers never die. Their prayer is still floating there. And we are there. We didn't witness that. We were not there when the word was released. But if we walk with God, we can connect to those prayers. We can connect to the anointing that was released. Yeah. Because every time God gives a promise, he also releases the anointing to fulfill that promise. Amen. So that promise is there. This is what Joel says in the book of the prophet Joel says, time will come when your sons and daughters will prophesy. He said, it's there. It's in the air. It's floating there. It will come a time when they will be connected to that anointing. Hallelujah. So we are on a mission. We might be lepers, but we are on a mission. We were not there when the word was released. We were not there when God promised to do something for this church. We were not there even when the church started. We were not there when, I don't know, we were not there. But God can still use us. Hallelujah. He can still use us. And finally, and this is probably the key point of my message, chapter 7, verse 3. I want you to examine and to analyze carefully what those lepers did. From verse 3, the Bible says, now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say, let's go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. If we say we stay here, we will die as well. So let's go over the camp of the Syrians and surrender. If they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, then we die. Amen. There is famine in the city. People are starving in the city. And those lepers are outside the city, just at the gate. First of all, even if there were enough food, they would not have been on the priority list because they are lepers. So they are aware of that. And they say, listen, going back to the city, we will die because there is no food there. Staying here is not a solution neither. And they say, let's move forward. Amen. Amen. The theme of my message is moving forward. They say, let's keep moving forward. Because we will die here anyway. Going back is, we will die anyway. In reality, they were saying that if they had to be killed, it's better to be killed directly, facing the problem, than dying gradually from famine, from starvation. They say it's better to die in the end of our enemies than to die here gradually. It's more painful to die gradually. And they had only free choice of death. It's horrible when you have to choose how you want to die. They only have three choice of how they could die. First one is to go back to the city. Dying, going back to the city. Secondly, dying, staying where they were. And thirdly, dying, moving forward, going to the enemy's camp. First one, dying, going to the city. What does it mean? For me, this is the image and the symbol of going backward.
Yeah.
Looking back at your past. Looking back, and there is nothing good there.
No.
Hallelujah. It's, they knew the city. They came from the city. They knew how painful it was in the city. And they said, listen, we are challenged here, but let's not go back there. We've been there before.
Yeah.
Let's not look back at the past. Hallelujah. There are people who always remember the sins of the past. Always remember the mistakes of the past. Every time something is not working, they remember that it's because I did this. If this didn't happen to me, I wouldn't be in this situation today. If this didn't happen to me, I wouldn't be here today. And they always blame themselves for the past. Always blame themselves, oh Lord, I shouldn't take that decision. I shouldn't take that road. I shouldn't engage myself into that relationship. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. But this is going back to the city. This will not solve the situation. They say, we don't have to go back to the city. Hallelujah. What is past is past.
Amen.
The past is gone. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if a person is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Amen.
The old thing says gone.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, your past is gone.
Amen.
You might have made mistakes in the past, but it is gone.
Yes.
You don't have to live the consequence all your life. The past is gone. Because you are in Christ.
Amen.
Everything is made new.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Forget about the city. Forget about the past. Forget about the failure of yesterday. Forget about the bad decisions you made yesterday. Forget about those things. Everything is new now. Hallelujah. Everything is new. Everything is new. God can make a way from you, from where you are. God can make a way from where you are. Hallelujah. There are those also when looking in the past, they look at the victory of yesterday and they are stuck in the victory of yesterday. They always say, oh, 20 years ago, I used to do this. 10 years ago, I used to do this. You know, I remember I was so strong in this situation. Oh, I remember I could have done this. Those are people who only bring with them the experiences of the past. And sometimes it can stop you moving forward because you are stuck in the victory of the past.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, and this is Paul speaking to the Philippians. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead.
Amen.
But what was behind Paul? Great victories. Behind him was great victories. He achieved a lot. But here he's speaking, and he was 63 when he was talking. He wasn't a young man. He wasn't on his 20. He was 63. And he says, what I do, I forget all those achievements. And I'm still angry to do more for God.
Yeah.
I'm still looking forward. I forget about everything I did. Amen.
Amen.
Forget about the city. Forget about the city. Second position, which says, dying where you are. Dying where you are. They says, if we stay here, we will die here anyway. Dying where we are, for me, is the image and the symbol of spiritual stagnation. Is just being satisfied with the situation, not desiring to do more. Hallelujah. it's being satisfied with what is just a little being satisfied. Say, well, we're doing okay anyway. We are not doing too bad. Amen. It's like we talk a lot about conservatism today. We talk about the conservatives. This is a conservative mentality, saying let's just keep it as it used to be. We are doing okay. Amen. This will not bring victory, neither. That mentality will not bring victory, neither. Hallelujah. We need to desire more. We need to desire new experiences with God. We need to desire to face the unknown. We need to go to take the risk. People stay where they are because they fear the unknown. They don't know what will happen there. And they say, listen, at least we know here. Let's stay here. If a church wants to move forward, a church needs to accept to come out of the comfort zone. If a ministry wants to move forward, a ministry must come out of the comfort zone. If a children of God want to move forward, he must accept to come out of the comfort zone, to do something he hasn't done before. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. To go into new territories. This is where God is. Mm-hmm. God is in the new territory. We need to move forward. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And that is the last point. Dying, going to the Syrian camps. Because they had three choices. They say, going back to the city, no chance. Staying here, stagnation, no chance. But finally they decided, they say, we will go forward to the Syrian camps. We will take the risk moving forward. Amen. I came here today to encourage somebody. In that situation you are going through, just keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward. God is in the unknown. This is why our life, our spiritual work is called a work of faith. Because you every day you go into the new territory, to the unknown. Every path you make, every step you are making, you're going forward to an unknown situation. Hallelujah. What happened? When they decided to go, as they walk, they realized that the enemy fled, the enemy ran away long ago. Why? Because God created a sound like horses and chariots and a military coming. So the enemy saw that Israel did receive support from his allies like Egypt, and they ran away. So all this time the people of Israel were starving. They actually were starving for no reason, because nothing was ahead of them. Hallelujah. Sometimes it might take you just to go forward to realize that the things you are fearing, the challenges you are fearing, are not as big as you think they are. As you're moving forward, they're becoming clear in your eyes. Hallelujah. God went before them. The Lord went before them. Amen. He went before them. Amen. And he solved the whole situation. God will solve the situation when you begin to move forward. Hallelujah. Amen. When you begin to move forward, God will work with you. And I hope I have encouraged someone. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope I have encouraged someone today. And I'll finish here. I'm closing. You know, in Exodus, the Bible talk about the crossing of the sea. You remember the story? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When the people of Israel came from Egypt and they had to cross the sea. The Lord told them to move forward.
Yeah.
But as they were moving forward, they came facing the sea. And beyond them was the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't go. But God told them, you have to keep going forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is the challenge. So what happened? God told Moses to stretch his hand, and he divided the sea into two. And they walk. And as they walk, when they finished, the Egyptian came in as well. And God covered the seas, and they all perished.
Yeah.
Actually, what God did, he used the challenge that is ahead of you, the big challenge that you fear, he used it to nullify the pains of the past.
Amen.
God use the challenges that is ahead of you. Because we all have packages. Yeah. We all have deception from the past. We all have the pains of the past. The only way the pains of the past will go away is when we face the future. Because God will use the victory of the future to kill the past.
Amen.
To kill what is behind us. This is what God will do. We have no other choice than to go forward. If we made a mistake yesterday, I have no other choice than to go ahead. Because that's the only way my mistake will be nullified. The victory I will have tomorrow will be so great that I will forget about the pains of yesterday. Hallelujah. I will forget about the pains of yesterday. If I'm a woman and I'm about to deliver, I have no other choice than to continue pushing. When the nurse says, push, I have to push. Because the joy of the baby will nullify the 9-month struggle of the pregnancy. But if I don't get to the end, this is why the pains will go with me all the day of my life. But if I take the risk and I say, I'll push until the end, when the baby will be there, I will even forget the whole 9-month pregnancy. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go forward.
Yes.
Let's move forward in that situation. In Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you.